Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and welcome to each one of you. Let us start our worship together by singing of God's great love and our call to be a part of it. Some news. We have started to make plans to have our first service at Bredsall Church on the 26th of July, and that will be at 10:15. And the following week, once everybody who has been shielded has been advised that they may come out, we will have our 8 o'clock communion at Bredsall and services at Smalley and Morley at the normal times, as well as an all-age later on at Bredsall. We will be taking things very slowly, though. We will be taking small steps, and we aim to continue with these podcasts so that anybody who feels, for whatever reason, that they are not able to come to church at the moment may still be connected to us through them. I think life coming out of lockdown is hard. It is hard to make the right decisions. We will need to be socially distanced, and in our worship we won't be able to sing, and that will feel very strange. Much of life, indeed, at the moment, feels very strange. We need to trust, and we need to look for and expect God's guidance, his light to shine on the path that he wishes us to take. Let us hear from Psalm 119.
I'm reading today from Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it. but I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my mouth, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testaments have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. This is the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was glad that Stephanie decided to read that psalm from the King James Bible, because that old language gives me a sense of the many lives, the many years, centuries, and indeed millennia that human beings have walked with God. The length of Psalm 119 means that it's not often read, but in itself it gives us a sense of a life, a whole life, lived with its ups and downs, its fears and joys, and its continued, repeated groping and seeking for God and God's guidance throughout. One of you said to me that our generation has not had to face big, impossible powers of evil, forces like fascism or Spanish flu. Our lives in the West have been untroubled by forces that challenge our own sense of invincibility as a species. And that has meant that those of us in the West certainly have seen life as something that we can plan, we can map out. The virus has paused us, and perhaps for some of us, we have really felt the need again to trust a bigger and a vaster power than our own will and resources. One of the 20 and 21st century lives that gives me great encouragement is that of a man called Pete Seeger. You may know of him as a singer. His career spanned at least 70 years, and he was a great social campaigner. He was part of the civil rights movement in America. He was persecuted under McCarthy for communist leanings. He campaigned for the end of the war in Vietnam. He worked for international cooperation. He campaigned for workers' rights, and he was also an early environmentalist. Over his 94 years, those seemingly hopeless fights against huge forces did indeed bear fruit. God's purposes were worked out. Pete Seeger saw the withdrawal of troops from Vietnam. He saw the Nazis be defeated. He saw the opening up of Russia and the end of the Cold War, the fall of the Wall of Berlin, and he lived also to see an African-American as president in the White House. One of his songs was based on Ecclesiastes, a passage you will know. The version we are about to hear is sung by Julie Collins. You can hear Pete join in a little bit. As we listen to it, I would ask you to use it as a time of confession for those moments and phases in your life when you have not trusted God or sought his purposes and the tasks that he has given to you.
Time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time. a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to weave, a time to gather stones together.
God forgive us our sins, and granting us a deeper faith, draw us forward into his service and the coming of his kingdom. Amen. Shall we say together the collect for the fifth Sunday after Trinity? Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name. Through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have some wonderful news for us all. This week, the diocese has provided a sermon, and it's been done by Christopher, Archdeacon Christopher. Let us hear first, though, the Gospel.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately fails away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Words from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus said, "Listen, a sower went out to sow." The parable of the sower is so familiar to us that we probably take it for granted. The idea of seed falling on different kinds of ground with different results has been used as a metaphor for teaching and evangelism. It's only in the good soil, the most receptive audience, that our efforts will bear fruit, up to 100-fold, as Matthew's Gospel tells us. After all, doesn't Jesus imply as much at the end of this morning's reading? Well, not quite. The temptation, as so often, is to see Jesus' teaching from our point of view rather than his, something to be applied by us mechanically and unthinkingly. If sowing the seed is about spreading the good news, telling people about God and Jesus, then the parable reads as an invitation to intentional and targeted evangelism. We need a strategy which puts all our efforts into finding where the good soil is and saturating it with seeds. We can safely ignore the paths and the rocks and the weeds because it just won't work there. The problem with the sower, we say, is that he is profligate and inefficient, wasting precious seed where he knows it won't take root, just so he can get home early and put his feet up. He is just lazy and incompetent. I think this interpretation of the parable is almost totally wrong. In Matthew's version of the parable, unlike those in Mark and Luke, we are told that the sower is the Son of Man. The Son of Man is unlikely to be lazy and incompetent, but he might just be profligate and inefficient. The point is, surely, that we just don't know which of the seeds are going to take root, be fruitful and multiply. We don't know where the church is going to flourish and in what way. That is in God's hands, not ours. It's been said that only 20% of advertising works. The problem is that we don't know which 20%, so we have to do all of it, hence the huge advertising industry. I was also told once that the people who send all those leaflets that used to arrive with the post in pre-coronavirus days only need 0.1% of the recipients to respond, to buy or do something as a result, to make it worth their while. Profligacy and inefficiency are built into the system. And there is, I think, a profound theological point to be made here. God is profligate and inefficient. Think for a moment. If you were God, wouldn't you want to come up with a better world than the one we've got? So much waste, so much suffering. And think of God as seen in Jesus. A spasmodic preaching tour accompanied by a pretty shambolic bunch of followers, which apparently ends in disaster. Strange talk about the meek inheriting the earth and a shepherd searching for a lost sheep while risking the 99 who have been left behind. Not much here about the bottom line and playing the percentages. If God is profligate and inefficient, maybe that's what we're called to be too. We are called to chuck the seed around with abandon rather than hoard it and ration it out. Because who knows? What looks to us like rocky ground or weeds may be fertile soil to God. And what looks like obviously good soil to us may turn out to be exceedingly thin. One of the interesting things about the lockdown is how a lot of people have become connected with the church in some way who didn't appear to us to be bothered before. Perhaps they have tuned in to online worship or volunteered for a social project. Perhaps they'll stay, perhaps they won't. But they remind us that God's view of the matter is unimaginably larger and more creative and more generous than ours. And it is when we behave generously, imaginatively, and creatively that we are more likely to get a response. Let me end with two linked memories from Africa. I went to a big diocesan service once at an Anglican cathedral in Mozambique. It was a communion service, but as well as receiving bread and wine, we were each given a small number of seeds. I think they were probably maize seeds. The bishop explained that we could plant the seeds if we wanted to, which, in a country suffering from agricultural poverty after devastating floods, was a powerful point in itself. But, he said, the important thing was to go from there and plant a different kind of seed, which would bring abundant life to others. A few days later, I was taken to see the building work at the newest church in the diocese, right in the south of the country, near the border with Swaziland. It was due to be consecrated the following week. Deadlines can be nerve-wracking in Mozambique. It is called the Church of Christ the Sower. May our growing of the seeds of the gospel, in whatever form that takes, be profligate and quite likely inefficient, so that those who follow us may reap a rich harvest. Amen.
The call to be generous, profligate, and inefficient requires of us a courage to sacrifice our common sense, perhaps, and to step out even when we feel afraid. And I say step out figuratively, as much we can do from our own homes, should that be where we need to be at the moment. But that courage is there for us and found in our trust in a loving God, and also in the knowledge that Jesus is already out there before us, sowing seed and nurturing its growth. He's out there and waiting for us to join him. Shall we sing together?
Thank you. We begin our prayers by settling back into the love of God, knowing that this love surrounds us, holds us, and fills us at all times, whether we are aware of it or not. Lord, you sow the seeds of your love throughout the world. Teach us to have eyes for your love at work in the world and nurture those seeds wherever we find them. Loving God, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those whose lives have been disrupted by the dramatic changes shaking our world. Share with them your loving, creative spirit and enfold them as they tend the green shoots of new beginnings. Loving God, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the parts of your world where your love is veiled by conflict, hatred, war, famine, and distress. Open the hearts of all world leaders to your transforming love, so that they may make wise decisions for the benefit of all. Loving God, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who find themselves in the rocky places of life, the sick, the lonely, the troubled, and all who care for them. Comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones and hold them in your warm embrace. Loving God, hear our prayer. Lord, in a world full of distraction and noise, help us to cut through the thorns of modern life to see what is truly important. Inspire us to nurture the seeds of hope and love wherever we see them, and to be creative stewards of the world you have shared with us. Loving God, hear our prayer. Guide us, Lord Jesus, to see you in those we meet, to recognise your love in our lives every day, and to make that love visible in the world. We say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
To say to someone that they need to trust is not entirely helpful. You can't pretend to trust where you don't. But there are things that we can do. As Lizzie indicated in her prayers, we can take time in the silence to lean back into the love of God. The Paches have prepared for us a fresh Teze service, and I think that the Teze chants are exactly the right medium through which we can settle into that love. That service will also be available on the website, and it will be on next week's burnt CDs. And we can pray for help with our trust. My grandmother had a prayer that she was particularly fond of. I have put it on the hymn and prayer sheet. Let us say it together now. Loving Father, give me the serenity which comes from living close to thee, that I may meet all life's accidents with a gallant and high-hearted happiness, trusting thee always for all things. Amen. Let us together receive God's blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and all for whom you pray, now and always. Amen. And now, stepping forward with that confidence in our Lord, let us sing together, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.